Appreciate very much your presence here tonight. I confess that this is a very favorite subject of mine. However, it is a subject on which I feel very inadequate to speak. We have just sung about the enormous magnitude of the love of God. I believe that it is, in the words of an old song, a many-splendored thing. It is amazing to think that God could love us so much and would love us so much that he would send his son to die for us. And so we should continue to wonder and be amazed and see how remarkable it is that such a God could love each one of us. When I was growing up, it was a custom in the community where I live for girls at a certain age to have a hope chest. And into that hope chest would be placed items that they would later use. There would be a beautiful quilt, embroidered work, pillowcases with fancy work on them, and all kinds of things, perhaps a piece of china from some ancestor that had been passed down. And these were little treasures that were collected together. And at the time the girl would leave home to get married, perhaps, then she would have that hope chest to begin her new life. When we think about the things that God has reserved for us, that ties in to the love of God. And tonight I want us to think about the subject of the anticipatory love of God. When you think about the love of God, I believe that every person here tonight certainly thinks about that from time to time, but may have overlooked this particular facet of the love of God. Anticipatory love is a love that God has bestowed upon us, where he anticipates our needs and has prepared blessings for us ahead of time. When you think about anticipatory love, here is the love of one who is so thoughtful and so considerate and who knows our needs better than we know how to ask or articulate those. And God has prepared blessings for us ahead of time so that at the time we need those blessings that we have them. The first passage I want to share with you, and you may want to turn to these passages. There's about a dozen of them that we'll look at tonight. And we'll look at the context and try to ascertain the meaning for each of us. In Psalms 31 and in verse 19, the psalmist exclaims, "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." We can only imitate the love of God in this respect. We think about needs that one may have after a while, and there are parents here who are laying up and preparing things for their children, and yet they do not know perfectly whether or not those will be just the right things, or that they will be adequate for their needs, or at that particular time if they will even need those things or want those things. And so at best, we are imperfect in our anticipatory love. God, however, perfectly understands and knows our needs, and just the time that we need those things, then he gives those to us. We are those who are often are unthinking and do not realize at the time that the blessings that we are receiving are those things that have been prepared ahead of time. Now, that is a marvelous attribute of the Almighty. When I was a child, I ate at a table in the wintertime where we ate from a cellar that was filled with canned goods and canned meats at that time, and juices and all kinds of things, with little thought of all of the preparation that had gone into that during the hot summer. But those things were prepared ahead of time for the winter days when we would enjoy them. In the same way, God prepares blessings for us. And in his intimate knowledge of us, he gives us, at just the time we need those things, the blessings that we receive. In the book of Hosea, Hosea pictures Israel. And on a national basis, that is also true as the things that I've mentioned in regard to individuals. From Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1, there is this expression of the anticipatory love of God. "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Children need a special love and a protective love and a love that supplies all of their needs. They are absolutely and completely dependent upon loving parents. Here is a nation that came out of abject slavery, people who had nothing, who were not accustomed to any kind of leadership. And so Moses took this nation under the hand of God, and God called them out of Egypt and blessed them with every single thing they needed. Here was anticipatory love. After 430 years of servitude and captivity in Egypt, here was a nation that was a child. And God blessed them, and you all know the story of how each step of the way that he provided for them protection, food, he provided for them guidance through the hand of Moses and through the pillar of fire by day and the cloud by night. And so every single thing that they needed in the barren desert, he gave them water to drink. And you could go on and on listing all of the blessings. All are expressions of the anticipatory love of God. Here is a whole nation blessed that way. Look at the tenderness expressed in verse 3 of Hosea chapter 11. I taught Ephraim also how to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. Here he pictures a little child that is learning to walk, where you would take that child by the hands and you would carefully cause them to be exercised so that they learn to walk. Israel was a nation that needed to learn to walk. They needed the most fundamental lessons of obedience to God. And God bore with them and was patient with them and gave them the leadership and every single thing that they needed as they matured and as they went toward the land of Canaan. They made many mistakes. They had to be disciplined. They had to be corrected quite often. And yet God was with them. God blessed them again and again and again. And God blessed them with a leadership that would intercede when they became so rebellious from time to time that God would have stopped his blessings and Moses would intercede and he would say, Lord, if you're going to destroy them, destroy me first. And so he would intercede for them. And so God blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. This is the same God that we serve. He anticipates our needs along the way. Sometimes we do not realize the blessing that is just available to us. I read of a man who was climbing, mountain climber, and he slipped and fell and was able to catch on to a little place there and hold on with his hands. And he hung on for several minutes there, agonizing, and finally he realized he could hold on no longer. And so his hands let go, and he fell. And he fell about 18 inches to a ledge that was underneath that he hadn't known was there. And so it is with us. Often we do not realize that God is there, that he will bless us. And we realize afresh that he has anticipated our needs before we get to them. Anticipatory love shows God's intimate knowledge of each one of us. Jesus said that your Father knows what things you have need of, Matthew 6 and verse 8, before you ask him. And so here is a love that anticipates even our coming to a knowledge of the things that we need. And we often do not know how to ask for those blessings that God is going to bestow on us. I skipped inadvertently here the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 33, and I want to read from verses 24, 25, and 27. There in the book of Deuteronomy, the statements made by Moses in his parting speech to the children of Israel, and he divides his final parting words among the tribes and speaks specifically. He does all through the book, of course, to all of them. But toward the end, he begins to speak tribe by tribe. And he says to Asher, verse 24, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable unto his brethren. and let him dip his foot in oil. His shoes shall be iron and brass. And listen to this statement. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. I don't know what it'd be like to have a shoe made out of iron or brass. I would guess it would be pretty uncomfortable. I don't even think I'd want to wear wooden shoes. But here he said it's going to be tough. There are going to be hard times. But he said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And so God gives us, not ahead of time, but at the time we need it, the strength to endure the things that we face day by day. Look at verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. In the first part of that verse, he says, here are the everlasting arms. His arms will never get tired. He will never fail. Every time that we need him, we may lean upon him. What a comfort that must have been to the children of Israel, and particularly to the tribe of Asher when they first heard these words, and to realize that here the everlasting arms of the Lord are available to them. Don't you love to dwell on that thought? When you think about the anticipatory love of God, God's love is also, the timing is just perfect. His timing truly is awesome. At the very time that we need those blessings, they are available. Several years ago, I was with a group of people, and we toured a manufacturing plant in North Alabama, and they were showing us the lines of workers who were putting things together. It was an appliance factory. They were making refrigerators and all the different parts that went into that, and it was like a giant machine. All of these people were doing their little part as the carcass of the appliance passed on the line, and they would apply their part and it would move on. And one of the members of our group said to the person who was leading the tour, well, it must take enormous warehouses to store all of the parts. We were amazed at all of the parts that go into a refrigerator. Oh, he said, we don't have warehouses. We are in a system called just-in-time manufacturing, and that is the parts are arriving just in time to be applied to that conveyor line. And so as the parts are coming in the back door, they're coming down to this place and they're put on the assembly line, and so it goes. I said, that must take enormous coordination. Oh, he said, we have people who specialized in that. And I said, what if parts are late? He said, well, if they do that, then they don't stay as our supplier. They have to know, we have to know that those parts are going to be there at just the time we need them. God's blessings are just in time. He does not reserve all the blessings and lay them out ahead of us, ahead of time, and say, here are all these things, draw from them as you would draw funds from a bank. But at the very time we need blessings, we have them. Often people discover in times of great stress and in the loss of loved ones, reserves they had not known were available to them. And so God blesses us. And he blesses us just in time. There's an old song entitled He Lives, in which the phrase occurs, and just the time I need him, he's always there. And so God is near, he is there, he is available to help those who are his children at just the time we need him. The greatest example of anticipatory love is the anticipatory love that the Lord demonstrates in the sending of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and beginning at verse 18, where the apostle writes, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, listen to this expression, but was manifest in these last times for you. It was not just off-the-cuff action that the Almighty took when he sent Jesus. It had been planned. It had been planned long before, even before time existed, even before human beings existed. Here was a plan of God that was put into place. And our redemption was not some come-lately plan that was drawn up hastily, but rather it was carefully planned. And all of the preparatory work that was done in the Old Testament, as people learned the holiness of God, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, as they learned that God was a dependable God, that he was a keeper of every promise, and so many lessons that you could illustrate with the whole Old Testament story. At just the right time, Paul writes and says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And it was at just the right time in human history. Some have written about that and suggested that it was a time when culturally it was the very best time. There was a language that was spoken throughout. Here was the Greek language that people everywhere could relate to. And so the New Testament was written in the Greek of the everyday language that people spoke. It was a time when human philosophy had failed, when some philosophers were saying among the Greek and Roman philosophers that the best thing in life was never to have been born. There was utter hopelessness. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul describes the exceeding sinfulness that prevailed, the degradation, the depths to which people by their own wisdom had sunk as they departed further and further from God. And so at just the time that was perfect, Jesus Christ came. And so he, though he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, he is manifest in these last times. And so Peter writes that we have been redeemed, not with things that may be bought with money, but with the precious blood of Christ. And he uses the simplest illustration that had been taught Israel over 1,500 years of their history, that he was like the sacrificial lamb that had been offered thousands and thousands of times, that he was indeed the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And so God's blessings are amazing, and they are the result of this particular facet of God's character and love, the anticipatory love of God. He loves us, and he knows just the time when we need certain blessings. But I want you to notice, too, that anticipatory love is a love that is unique. It is unique to God, and we can only poorly imitate it. The example I mentioned to you at the beginning, wise parents, loving parents, demonstrate their love by laying up things for their children, but we do it imperfectly. We may not prepare our children for that, or it may be too much or too little. It may not be just the thing at the time that they receive it that they need or are interested in. God's love, however, his anticipatory love for us, is perfectly suited to our needs. And the reason that that is so is because of the nature of God. Over in Isaiah chapter 46 and in verses 9 and 10, the prophet writes, "Remember the former things of old." He is speaking for God. "For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." He then goes on to talk about the foreign nation that he has prepared to come and to deliver his judgment against Judah. And so all of the plans of God, as they come into existence and are manifested to his people, are those things that have been carefully planned by a loving God who applies just the blessing that we need at just the time and in just the amount that we need it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it wonderful to serve a God who so perfectly understands and knows our need better than we know our need, better than we know how to ask, but a God who perfectly suits his blessings to our individual needs. It applies also to nations of people. And in the great scheme of things, as God rules in the affairs of men, God does all things well. And in the national affairs of nations of this world, God rules. And so we may trust that. We may wonder at His timing. We may wonder why He does not intervene when there are certain forms of wickedness in existence. But God knows best, and we must trust Him and lean on those everlasting arms and realize His anticipatory love will give us just the blessings we need, and at the very time we need them, that He will be near. When you think about the anticipatory love of God, I want to go to a New Testament passage here. And this passage is over in Acts chapter 18 and verse 10. And this applies to the work of the church and the success of the gospel, and is an occurrence that took place in the ministry of Paul as he went to difficult places preaching the gospel. He went to the city of Corinth, where great wickedness, great immorality prevailed, and he labored for a while, and it seems like his labors were not accomplishing very much, and he became discouraged. And we know that from the context here, beginning at verse 9. The Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision and said, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." God's foreknowledge is such that He can speak of those things not yet accomplished as if they had already happened. And so there were a lot of people that were in Corinth that would hear and believe and obey the gospel. Well, you all know the story that Paul continued to labor there. Many people were baptized. A church was established. It becomes a congregation that certainly God uses to illustrate to us how congregations can overcome many, many problems. When you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you realize here are all kinds of things typical of what congregations through these two millennia following have also had to face. There was division over men. There were those who were seeking to form parties. There was immorality. It seems like God selected some of the most far out cases to illustrate His dealings through this church. And so Paul carefully instructs them on how to deal with that. Brethren were going to law with brethren. There was a misuse of the gifts with which God had blessed them, the spiritual gifts. And on, there were errors and confusion about the resurrection. And all of those things are dealt with in 1 Corinthians. And then 2 Corinthians is a logical follow-up to that. And you see some of the things that had been addressed in the first letter have been solved, have been dealt with by the time you get to the second letter. And so here is a way that God had ahead of time realized here were people, if presented with the opportunity, would believe and obey the gospel, would go through all of those struggles that Christians and congregations must go through, and here would become for us and for all time letters that would help to guide us as we face the things we face in the kingdom of God. So God's love, His anticipatory love, is a love that anticipates that which we shall need and provides for us. In the book of Judges, there is a great illustration in chapter 6 that I want to share with you. I've always been amazed by the superlatives that God uses, and He does this in regard to a man and uses words about this individual that are certainly not applicable at the time He uses them. But before the story ends, you see that God was predicting what this man would become. I'm talking about Gideon. And when the message first came to Gideon by the ministry of an angel, verse 12 of Judges chapter 6, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee." Listen to this, "thou mighty man of valor." He was not in any respect a man of valor at the time God spoke those words, but he would become one. He would become the very man who, with his little band, would defeat the mighty enemy, who would overthrow the idols, not only in his father's house, but in that area. And he would become that mighty man that he was not yet. God has plans not only for nations and churches, but for you and for me. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? I believe he does. I believe that he has a plan that he would like to see us carry out in our lives, and that blessings await us if we will but follow his will. Here was a man who was not the man he would become, but God calls him that, and then he fills those shoes. He begins to act more and more in accordance with that which God pictures him to be. The greatest illustration, again, of how that works and how God, in his anticipatory love for us, deals with sinful man and then, and then is able to say, this is what will result if you will follow my will, is found, I believe, over in the book of Romans in chapter 5, and a familiar passage to you. Turn to Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, and look at those verses afresh with the idea in mind of God's anticipatory love. Begin there at verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." An individual who has exhausted every resource, a people who no longer have the answers to the great questions of life, so much so that they despair of there even being an answer, and this was true in the Roman world. They were without strength, and yet Christ died for the ungodly. Listen to the divine reasoning. "Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." This passage deals with the whole process of coming to God and the love received through Jesus Christ and his perfect sacrifice, and then the joy that is reflected in our lives as we think about that, as we dwell on that. Not much time should pass in our lives that we do not think of the sacrifice of Jesus for us. I wonder at folks who don't observe the Lord's Supper very often. They are missing a wonderful thing when we observe it week by week and solemnly take a few minutes to ponder what it is that one should die for our sins, offering his body and his blood for the remission of every sin that we've committed, and reflect on the hope that is before us because of that great sacrifice. It is tied to the resurrection, and we will observe it and others like us until he comes again. When you think about all of those things, how often we should dwell on that. We ought to think about that. And all of that came about because of the anticipatory love of God. He saw our need. He perfectly provided for it. At just the right time, Jesus came into the world and suffered and died for our sins. This causing of Christ to die for sinful men is all to be attributed to the anticipatory love of God. His mercy, his love, his perfect planning for us, all are demonstrated in the death of Jesus for us. When you think about what has been done for us and how that may affect individuals, I'm sure that there are many individuals here who could testify to that and say, here is what has happened in my life. Here is the change that has been wrought in me. And I'm always amazed when someone opens up and tells me their story. And here was the kind of man I was, and here's what I'm trying to be now. Here's the kind of woman that I was, and yet God was willing to save me through Jesus Christ. And here's the life that I'm trying to live, and the example I'm trying to set now. All of that is amazing, isn't it? It is a wonderful testimony to the mercy and grace of God, but particularly to His love. He loved us so much that He provided the life-changing means through Christ that we need. I want to use one final example of that. It's found over in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 22, we have the example of Jesus' words that were spoken to the Apostle Peter. Peter is an interesting study, and you think about what he was, his quickness to anger, his impetuousness. He was quick to speak, and so many things you can say about his first part of his life. And then reflect on the fact that God chose to use him in such a key way in the beginning of the kingdom on the day of Pentecost and in Acts chapter 10 at the household of Cornelius. And then, though the story of Paul and his work dominates the New Testament somewhat from that point forward, you can pick up from incidental notes along the way some thoughts about Peter. And then especially in 1st and 2nd Peter, realize the kind of man that he became and the influence that he had. Here, during Jesus' ministry, are some words that were spoken that reveals the anticipatory love of God. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you." And he says, "Simon, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." He became an enormous source of strength to his brethren. He became one who would help them. And he writes of the trials through which they are passing. As you read 1st and 2nd Peter, you realize that he is struggling with them to help them through difficult times. And so this great-hearted man was taken and was used by God in a wonderful way. God loved him so much and saw what he could become. And in this passage, demonstrates the thought that he has about his future. When you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. I wonder what he thinks about you and what he thinks about me and what he has in mind for us. Is it not a wonderful thing to turn that over in our mind and think about the fact that we haven't yet begun to be what we can be by His mercy and His grace? We are only yet fractions of the wholeness that we can have later by the grace and mercy of God. And all of that comes out of the fact that He loves us. He loves us so much, more than we can begin to adequately speak of. And finally, I want to notice with you that anticipatory love should make us then want to serve Him. I'll quickly look at two passages. The first of those is in Genesis chapter 24. It is an illustration, I think, of the leading of God, the providence of God, that we come to realize as we walk with Him. It is the words of a servant of Abraham's, who was sent to a far country to get a wife for Isaac. And finally he comes to a certain place and to a certain household and realizes that God is working through him and the arrangements that are being made, that all of that's just falling into perfect place. And that this woman that he has observed, who has helped him out at the well, that surely she is the one that God has led him to. And here is the blessing, the statement that he makes in verse 27. "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." That expression, "I being in the way," suggests to us that when we are walking in the way of the Lord, when we are doing His will, to the very best of our ability, we may expect, we may anticipate the love of God and His leading and help and providential care. Here was a man who went unerringly to fulfill just the task, the difficult task, that his master had given to him. And that became the fulfillment of God's will through the patriarch Isaac, just as God had planned. And so we likewise are those who receive the richest blessings. And we receive those rich blessings when we are in faithful service. You may anticipate that. I may anticipate that. When we do that which is right, look out. Blessings are coming. They will come. There will be many of them. And that does not mean we will not pass through deep waters and difficult times. But God will bless us. He will see us through. The final passage I want to mention to you is over in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 19. It is familiar to all of you. But my God, he writes, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We do not know what the future holds, but we know him who holds the future and the one in whose hands is our keeping. And therefore, we are encouraged. I'm encouraged to speak of it to you, of the anticipatory love of God, of that facet of his character that anticipates our every need, and at just the time we need those blessings are available to us. When you think of that, don't you want to be a part of that, to serve him, to love him in return? That ought to make us want to love and serve him all the days of our life. Maybe tonight there are those who would like to make that beginning in your life. It's the way to live your life. It is the very best life that you can live. If you would come to Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins, God will make you a part of his family, and you may anticipate the blessings that will follow.